The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wage worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place. So the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over, so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord. A great prophet has risen in our midst. God has visited his people. Do you ever notice how many times Jesus goes up a mountain? Here we hear that Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. He was showing himself as the new Moses. Moses who sat on the mountain, coming down from Horeb, coming down from Sinai, to give the people the Ten Commandments. And God, the incarnate Word, sat down with his disciples. It's not insignificant that the writer of this gospel says the Jewish feast of Passover was near, because Jesus gave a sign to them of broken bread. Bread broken, just as the lamb was sacrificed in the temple at the Passover, and the people ate from the supernatural bread in the wilderness, so Jesus was to give them super substantial bread at this time when he saw them hungry. Many of them probably were just following because they heard that he had done this before, and that he would like to give that, they wanted to give them more bread because they're hungry, because they were a practical people. They didn't just follow around anybody, they followed around people that would help them. And they had already seen Jesus cure the sick and help people. He had not yet raised the dead, but he would do that very shortly in his gospel. Jesus comes to us each time we come to this holy sacrifice of the Mass. Each time we come to his altar, he offers us bread and wine, his body and his blood. Why does he do this? Why does he transform ordinary bread and ordinary wine into his most adorable body and his most precious blood? Why does he do this? He does this so that we are reminded that he is with us forever till the close of the age. He gives us the blessed sacrament of the altar in order that we might have his divine life, that we might share in his love, his mercy, his forgiveness, and in his own life, his divine life. He looks at us, our human life, and says to us, I have taken on your humanity in all of its aspects except for sin, and I return to you something which is precious in the eyes of God, his own divine image and likeness in each and every one of us. When he created us, he said to us, I create you and I breathe into you the spirit of life, the spirit which is permeating in all creation, and in a very special way, I make you into my image and likeness. And he gives us certain things in this life. In the Holy Church, he gives us the sacraments to build us up. At baptism, he receives us as new life in the Spirit. In confession, he gives us the forgiveness when we fail, but he pardons us and gives us more and more grace so that we can truly become what he asks us to be. He asks us to become holy like the Heavenly Father is holy. He doesn't just ask us to do whatever we wish after we are cleansed of our sins. He tells us, go, do those good things that I do. Give people bread. Give people clothing. Take care of the sick. Watch over the dying. Do good works. Be good people. Because each time you do that, you become more and more and more like God. God who is all giving, all good, all holy. God who loves the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son to the end that all who believe and trust in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He calls us in the Spirit to be his children, his adopted children. That's why it's so precious to me every time I see all these little children here. I love having the little children. Jesus says, let the little children come to me. I want them. And he wants all of us, no matter how old we are. He wants all of us. Think about it. God is infinite. We're just little specks in the universe. And yet he sent his Son to save us. That's marvelous. We should be thankful every single minute of every single day. Paul tells us something about the divine life. Paul is having a tough time. He says he's a prisoner for the Lord. Eventually, Paul will be dragged off to Rome along with St. Peter, and he will die by the sword. He will die because he is a Christian. He will die because he is living the life of what Jesus expects us to do. He says, I urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. He is speaking to his congregation, to his church that he has established at Ephesus in Greece. He is speaking to them in the 60s of AD, 60, 64 AD. We know it's before he died, and that was before 70 AD. So we know this is at the very early part of Christianity. We know that he had spoken to the Greeks. The Christian faith was flourishing across the empire. It was in the cities. And the officials of the Roman Empire had to persecute it because it was an illegal religion. We're lucky that we are a legal religion and we're not being persecuted. Because many of the people at Ephesus and many of the people throughout the Roman Empire apostatized. They gave up their faith. But the leaders all died. Peter, Paul, Andrew, James, John. All of those saints that we hear in the Roman canon died in the early church. The first bunch in that canon are the apostles. The second batch are popes. The third batch are deacons. All the leaders of Christianity in some way suffered. They didn't send out the sheep to suffer for them. They themselves went. And that is the truly prophetic voice, the voice that the prophet Elisha has when he says, give the people something to eat. The shepherds are supposed to take care of their sheep. And thus we hope to do. Thus we hope to do. We are also called to be one body and one spirit, as you were also called to the one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We say that so often that sometimes we might not hear the second part. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Paul knows that God is above us, through us, and in us. God, whose divine life, whose divine image and likeness we are, calls us to be one in unity. There's an old story in the early Jewish writings of the first century that talks of the dignity of the human being, of the human person. The rabbis tell us, that before each and every one of us, before each and every man, woman, and child, there is an unseen guardian angel who cries out with loud voice, behold the image and likeness of God. Behold the image of God. Behold the likeness of God. Such is the dignity with which the Lord, our Creator, has made us. Such is the dignity to which we are called as his children. So today, as you enter into the sacred mystery of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, as you come and receive the body and blood of Christ, may you know who you are taking in you, because he will be transforming you day by day into his body and blood, so that God may be all in all, over all, in all, through all, one in Jesus Christ, one in his holy church, one with him forever.